Aloha and welcome to Word for the Week. I'm Wayne Cadero and we're going to be going through 1st and 2nd Samuel. Now, originally these were actually one book, 1st and 2nd Samuel, one book, but then divided into two. Now this week we're going to finish off 1st Samuel and go into 2nd Samuel. Now during these chapters, you're going to find that David is the fugitive. He's fleeing from Saul. In fact, for a period of a year and about 4 months, he hides among the Philistines. That's right. He becomes friend with an enemy in order to get away from Saul. Later, Saul's going to disqualify himself as he visits a spirit medium. And then David is driven back to Ziklag, and Saul and his sons are slain in a battle. Then we go into 2 Samuel. Now, 2 Samuel is going to depict David as a true, although imperfect, representative of the ideal King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We call that in theology a theocratic king. Theocratic, which simply means that he's under the lordship of God. Theos. Theos is God. Now, David was initially acclaimed king at Hebron, and we're going to talk about this because it's extremely interesting. You see, David is anointed king back in 1 Samuel 16, but he doesn't really take the throne until 2 Samuel chapter 5. That's 21 chapters later, he finally takes the throne. We're going to talk about that in a second. But David's leadership was effective and decisive. He captured Jerusalem from the Jebusites and made it his royal city and also his residence. And then he brings back the Ark of the Lord from Abinadab, brings it to Jerusalem, and acknowledges the Lord's kingship and rule over himself and over the nation. Now, under David's rule, God's going to cause the nation to prosper, going to defeat their enemies, and fulfill the promises of God as they extend their borders from Egypt all the way to the Euphrates. It's called the Golden Age. Before we go any further, though, let me talk to you a little bit about the anointings. There's actually three anointings. The first is in 1 Samuel 16, when Samuel says to David, "How long are we going?" God says to Samuel, "How long are you going to mourn over Saul and him disqualifying himself? Go get a horn of oil and anoint David." David's anointed as king. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 2, you're going to find that Judah, remember, the tribe was split into two. Judah acknowledges him king, 2 Samuel 2, 4, and then they anoint him as king. But 2 Samuel chapter 5 says, now the remaining tribes of Israel finally join in, and they anoint him king. So we find three anointings, actually. 1 Samuel 16, 2 Samuel 2, 2 Samuel 5. But remember, although he's anointed king, 21 chapters he has to wait for that promise to be fulfilled. In each of our lives, we're going to have, a lot of times, as it were, three anointings. The first is a promise. God's going to give you a promise of a certain kind of anointing. It might be a ministry or a future promise. But then it won't be till 13 or 14 chapters of your life later where it's going to be confirmed, because it's then confirmed by the elders of Judah. But it really doesn't have an open door until 2 Samuel 5. That's when he actually takes the throne. A lot of times we want to jump from the promise, the anointing of promise, all the way to the open door. And we say, well, I'm king. I might as well just go ahead and do it. And God is saying, no. There's 21 chapters of service, being a fugitive, being humble. You're able to take revenge and you refuse to. You have the ability to get back at, and you say no and you remain humble. And during those 21 chapters, he is making you a person who is able to steward that promise. Here's a question. What chapter are you in right now? Are you faithful? Make sure that you are. And the open door is right around the corner. Then in the New Testament, we go into the book of Matthew. Now, Matthew actually wrote this gospel to the Jewish people. You'll see that it's going to start with the lineage or the genealogy, proving his Davidic lineage. And then again and again, you're going to see how he speaks about how Jesus fulfills the Old Testament. Doesn't throw it away. He doesn't push it aside. He fulfills it. And it'll help you to understand Matthew by realizing that the whole gospel, his gospel, the gospel of Matthew, is written around five great discourses, five great teachings, bodies of teaching. The first, chapters 5-7, here it is, a Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 10, he's going to commission the 12 apostles. And then 13, he's going to speak about parables, the parables of the kingdom. And the fourth great discourse is going to be found in chapter 18, characteristics of life in the kingdom of God. And then the 24th chapter, he's going to speak about end times, 24 and 25. Those five discourses, the Sermon on the Mount, commissioning of the apostles, parables, characteristics of kingdom life, and end times, those five discourses are what Matthew builds his whole book around. Well, enjoy, have a great week of devotions, and we'll catch you next week. God bless you.